Didn't your previous home get destroyed by an epic?
Where there are villains, there will be heroes, my father said. Just wait. They will come.
I believed him. A lot of people thought like he did back then. It had only been 2 years since Calamity appeared in the sky. 1 year since ordinary men started changing, turning into epics, almost like superheroes from the stories. We were still hopeful then, and ignorant.
Well,
the mortgage man said, clasping his hands on the table right beside a picture frame displaying a stock photo of smiling ethnic children.
Unfortunately, our underwriters don't agree with your assessment. You'll have to...
They kept talking, but I stopped paying attention. I let my eyes wander back toward the crowds, then turned around again, kneeling on the chair. My father was too engrossed in the conversation to scold me. So I was actually watching when the epic strolled into the bank. I noticed him immediately, though nobody else seemed to pay him much heed. Most people say you can't tell an epic from an ordinary man unless he starts using his powers. But they're wrong. Epics carry themselves differently. That sense of confidence, that subtle self-satisfaction. I've always been able to spot them. Even as a kid, I knew there was something different about that man. He wore a relaxed-fitting black business suit with a light tan shirt underneath, no tie. He was tall and lean, but solid, like a lot of epics are. Muscled and toned in a way that you could see even through the loose clothing. He strode to the center of the room, sunglasses hung from his breast pocket, and he smiled as he put them on. Then, he raised a finger and pointed with a casual tapping motion at a passing woman. She vaporized to dust, clothing burning away, skeleton falling forward and clattering to the floor. Her earrings and wedding ring didn't dissolve, though. They hit the floor with distinct pings I could hear even over the noise in the room. The room fell still. People froze, horrified. Conversations stopped, though the mortgage man kept right on rambling, lecturing my father. He finally choked off as the screaming began. I don't remember how I felt. Isn't that odd? I can remember the lighting, those magnificent chandeliers up above, sprinkling the room with bits of refracted light. I can remember the lemon ammonia scent of the recently cleaned floor. I can remember all too well the piercing shouts of terror, the mad cacophony as people scrambled for doors. Most clearly, I remember the epic smiling broadly, almost leering, as he pointed at people passing, reducing them to ash and bones with a mere gesture. I was transfixed. Perhaps I was in shock. I clung to the back of my chair, watching the slaughter with wide eyes. Some people near the doors escaped. Anyone who got too close to the epic died. Several employees and customers huddled together on the ground or hid behind desks. Strangely, the room grew still. The epic stood as if he were alone, bits of paper floating down through the air, bones and black ash scattered on the floor about him.
I am called Death Point, he said. It's not the cleverest of names, I'll admit, but I find it memorable.
His voice was eerily conversational, as if you were chatting with friends over drinks. He began to stroll through the room.
A thought occurred to me this morning, he said.
The room was large enough that his voice echoed.
I was showering, and it struck me. It asked, Death Point, why are you going to rob a bank today?
He pointed lazily at a pair of security guards who had edged out of a side hallway just beside the mortgage cubicles. The guards turned to dust, their badges, belt buckles, guns, and bones hitting the floor. I could hear their bones knock against one another as they dropped. There are a lot of bones in a man's body, more than I'd realized, and they made a big mess when they scattered. An odd detail to notice about the horrible scene, but I remember it distinctly. A hand clasped my shoulder.